Good morning, friends. Welcome to morning worship. We open our worship by singing to God's praise hymn number 53, O greatly blessed the people are. 53. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Let us pray. O Lord our God, you are worthy of praise from every creature. We look up to you as creatures to the Creator. We acknowledge that you are the God of heaven and earth, and the vast creation far beyond what mankind has ever been able to find out. Blessed be our God forever. Lord, when men and women find their courage failing and call to you for help, you never fail them. When people bring their sin-darkened lives to you in penitence, you receive them. We ask you to be with us in our worship. This is our moment of penitence and our moment of approach to you, our God. Be with us now and help us where we need help. Lord, you have created us for your service. Our life is meant to reflect your life in this, your world. We confess our failure to represent you to the world around us, our failure to trust you completely, our concern with lesser things, and our lack of concern for the things which really matter. Forgive us, Lord, where the balance of our life has gone wrong. Help us to recognize the temptations of the way and to overcome them. Help us to be awake to the needs of others and to be ready to meet those needs. So help us day by day to become better representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Well, friends, it's the last Sunday of the month, and because of that, the Jesus and Me Club are on the Job, on the story of Job, that is. And they are here to present that to us now. Mrs. Chisholm is here to lead them. Thank you.
They've learned the five things that happened to Job, and they drew pictures. They then talked about Job's three friends that weren't very nice to him. And then what happened when God rectified everything that he'd done previously. They then talked about things that God's plan and what things that they thought that they weren't going to be very good at, and maybe God knew a wee bit more about it and ended up quite enjoying it. And they've also, we have two stars today. We've got Carrie and Duncan doing their play, Praise Him and Everything.
What's wrong? Why are you late for school? Our reading feed has already started.
I know that's bad, but I'm having the worst day of my life.
Bad? But you like reading feed.
Not today. It's the worst day ever.
But you had a good day yesterday at Jam Club. Remember, especially after we did the activities in praising God?
That was yesterday. Today is different. First, I spilt my milk at breakfast. Then I had to change my clothes, and then I got to play my new game.
What's bad about that?
Because I took too long to get changed, I only got to play for a little bit, and when my mum told me to get off, I got really mad.
But today is read and feed. We get to read our favourite books and eat snacks for 2 hours.
But it's bad because I was mad with my mum and I was late and I missed the school bus and my mum had to bring me to school.
It was great she gave you a lift. She could have made you walk.
But now I'm late and I won't get to spend 2 hours reading. It's the worst day ever.
Why don't you get out your snack and book and maybe your day will get better?
I doubt it. Oh no, I don't believe it.
What's wrong?
I left my snack on the kitchen table and now I don't have the feed pot.
Duncan, remember reading feed is silent reading and if you're not quiet, you'll miss double playtime.
See, this really is the worst day ever.
How can double playtime be a bad day? I think you need to think about yesterday.
I give up. What do you mean?
I mean at Jam Club. We talked about praising God.
Oh, so?
So you can't think of one good thing that's happened today you could praise God for?
Well, I did get this book I've been waiting ages for from the library.
Anything else?
And it's good that we have reading free today and I only missed a little bit because my mum gave me a lift.
That's right. You praise God for those things.
And I'm glad I got to play my new game.
And that you have clean clothes to get changed into.
Yes, even that I'm not mad anymore, so I'm not being noisy, which means I'll still get double playtime.
That's the best. I will praise God for that one too.
Yes, God does deserve our praise.
Thank you, young people. And the young people's hymn is from Junior Plays, number 255. This is the day, 255.
Thank you.
We read God's word in the Old Testament, the book of Exodus, chapter 3, at verse 1. Exodus, chapter 3, at verse 1. Now, Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, Here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face, because he was afraid to look upon God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now, go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you. And this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, The God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, What is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, Say to the Israelites, The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. And in the New Testament, Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, at verse 21. Matthew, chapter 16, verse 21. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. Never, Lord, he said, this shall never happen to you. Jesus turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan, you're a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. Then Jesus said to his disciples, If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. I tell you the truth, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and to his name be the glory and the praise. Hymn number 172, Sing for God's Glory, 172. The book of Exodus, chapter 3, verse 4, why the bush does not burn up. From time to time, a lot of burning goes on in gardens and fields. Sometimes it can be very spectacular. It gives light for a long distance, and it can attract attention. That was the thing about the burning bush which Moses saw. It attracted his attention. It caught his attention first because it was alight. He saw the colour and the flames of it. That by itself was nothing special. Where Moses lived was a hot, dry country. Up on the hillside where he looked after the sheep, there might often be a bush catching fire. So here was something he must have seen before. He'd seen it before, yes, but about this bush, there was something different. It was burning, but it was not being burned away. That aroused Moses' curiosity. What is causing this phenomenon? He turned aside to see. The question perplexed him. Why doesn't the bush burn away? The bush didn't burn away because it was burning there for that very purpose, to catch Moses' attention, to make him curious, to make him turn aside to see something unusual, something different from what he was used to seeing. The burning bush is the emblem of the Church of Scotland. It appears on our hymn books and Bibles and official papers. There stands the burning bush with the words underneath, taken from the Latin version of the Bible, Nec tamen consumebatur, and yet it was not being consumed. Maybe it gives us a good sort of feeling, having as the emblem of our church the bush which was not being consumed. In the situation of our congregation at present, isn't it good to be reminded of the solidarity and the permanence indicated by the Church of Scotland's emblem, the bush which was not being consumed? And yet, when we think about it a little more, the bush is a very impermanent thing. We know this Bible story from our early days, and we think of it as the story of the burning bush. But the bush and its burning is of very brief significance. One moment it's there, attracting Moses' attention because it's on fire, but it's not being burned away. The next moment, the story has moved on, and the bush is not mentioned anymore. The story is really a story of Moses' encounter with God, and it leads on to Moses' service of God. The burning bush plays no further part in it at all. Of course, we don't know how long the bush had been burning before Moses saw it. It wasn't the burning which caught his attention. It was the fact that it was not being burned away. Maybe as he wandered about the hillside looking after the sheep that day, maybe it wasn't the first time he'd caught sight of it. Maybe he'd already passed this burning bush on his way up the hill, and this was him seeing it again on the way down. Well, that's all speculation. But here is the important point. The bush was on fire. It was not being consumed by the fire. And this attracted Moses' attention. He stopped to see what was causing it. As soon as he did that, the Lord began to speak to him. And the bush had served its purpose. So for all its importance at the time, for all its fame in Bible history, and despite the fact that it has become the emblem of our church, the burning bush is a thing of the very briefest moment. How about that when we come to think about our membership of the church and our worship in the church? Are we connecting ourselves with something which is only of passing significance? Livingston Church has been here a long time. Will it always be here? Will the Church of Scotland always be here? Can it be that even the Church of Scotland is something which will eventually pass and be heard of no more. Well, we say in our saner moments, that's nonsense. We belong to something more permanent than a bush or an emblem. When we serve the church in whatever way we do serve it, we're serving something which is not going to pass away. The bush is only a symbol. It's only there to direct our attention, as the original bush was there to direct Moses' attention. All right, so let's pay attention. Moses saw the bush and he stopped and paid attention to God, and God spoke to him. God had a task for him to undertake. It was the task of leading the Israelite people out of their slavery in Egypt into a land of freedom. Moses was the man for the job. His first reaction was to say that he didn't feel up to it. He didn't feel that he was the man for the job. How could he go to King Pharaoh? How could he lead the people? How could he speak publicly? In total, how was it possible that Moses could be the man to undertake this task? That was his first reaction, and it was not surprising. But Moses didn't know the whole story. Moses could not see the whole picture there and then. He had been chosen for this task because he was being prepared for it over a long period of time. Although he had been brought up in the court of the Egyptian king, all his life Moses had been conscious of being a Hebrew. He knew what it was like for his fellow Hebrews. He knew what kind of a state they were in. He shared their feeling of injustice. Now that feeling of injustice, that feeling that his people were suffering and must be set free from their suffering, that feeling continued to grow within Moses. Everything which happened in his early life contributed to the growing of it. All along the way, this feeling continued to grow within Moses until it obliterated everything else. This was the one thing that mattered to him, that his people should be set free. This thought burned within Moses constantly, constantly. It was no mere coincidence that when God called Moses' attention, he did it with a bush which was on fire, because Moses himself was on fire. He was aflame with the desire to see his people set free. And that flame was never going to go out. That bush, which burned for a moment, just long enough to catch his attention and arouse his curiosity, that bush, when its momentary job was done and it was not significant any longer, that bush served to fire Moses with a fire which was not going to go out either. The desire to serve God, the acceptance of God's will, and the acceptance of what was going to be his own part in carrying out God's will, and the concern for his people, which went deeper than mere fellow feeling, deeper than words. Those were the things which made Moses on fire. It was with those things that he burned. When we are on fire with desires and concerns like that, we're not going to be consumed. We're not going to burn out. Because it's God himself who's feeding that flame. Didn't Moses see in the bush the very thing that was going on within himself? So the bush is more than a symbol, more than a device to catch attention. It's an indication of what is happening within the human heart, and its fire goes on and drives people on. What was it that Macbeth said about the dagger that he saw in hallucination? Thou marshalst me the way that I was going. It was a product of the intentions which were already forming in Macbeth's mind. Macbeth's intentions were evil at that moment. But Moses, whose intentions were to serve God and set his people free, Moses was all the more truly fired by the bush and marshaled the way that he was going. To serve God and set the people free. Could there be any more noble purpose that a human heart and mind and effort could be bent on serving? Can there be any more noble purpose to which we can dedicate ourselves today? Is it not the case that the desire to serve God is what really sets us on fire? Isn't that what really burns within us? Other fires go out eventually. Other bushes are finally consumed. But to serve God with all our powers, with every fibre of our being, to set our people free from the slavery which enshackles them, that is a fire which goes on burning. That's a fire which drives us on. That's a cause which is worth dedicating ourselves to. What about when we don't feel like it? When we don't feel the fire burning? When we can't whip up any enthusiasm? What then? Where's the fire in my life, we may say? Where's the fire in the life of Livingston Church? Where's the fire in any church these days, we may say? Over the years, I have found many reasons to be thankful for my time spent in the Boys' Brigade. Not the least of those reasons is a hymn which I've never found anywhere else. I believe it does exist somewhere else, but I've only found it in the Boys' Brigade hymnal of those far-off days. One of its verses goes, "I have a captain, and the heart of every private man has drunk in valour from his eyes since first the war began. He is most merciful in fight, and of his scars a single sight, the embers of our failing might, into a flame can fan." That flame is not going to go out. Not the one that's flamed, not the one that's fanned by that captain. Not if it's the Lord Jesus Christ we're talking about when we call ourselves a church. If we really mean what we say, if we're not just playing with words, if we really mean the Lord Jesus Christ, then the flame is not going to go out. Nothing that happens to us is ever going to be able to put it out. Not the depression which sometimes sets in, not falling numbers, not depressing statistics, not the sensational headlines, nor the dismal news from home and abroad, not even the record of our own past failure. None of that is going to put out the flame which our captain fans. And if we wonder where our dear and Livingston churches are going, that is the answer. They're going forward with the captain. There were times when Moses didn't feel the fire burning at its strongest. There were times when he was near to despair because of the waywardness of his people. There were times when the people wished they'd never started on the exodus from Egypt, which Moses was leading them on. There were such times. Maybe they thought the fire had gone out. Maybe you and I think that too sometimes. We'd scarcely be human if we didn't. The burning bush is a great moment, but it's only a moment and it passes. The service of worship passes too. Does that mean the fire has gone out? It depends who kindles the fire in the first place. The flame which burned within Moses himself was a flame which God had kindled. His people were in slavery, and Moses was to be the man to lead them to freedom. We say in this country that slavery was abolished in the early 19th century. We mention William Wilberforce and other great campaigners who helped to bring about the abolition. But we have not got rid of slavery, not in this country, not in this world. People are still slaves. There are spectacular ways in which they are slaves. Drink and drugs and gambling, those things make news and arouse the public conscience. A lot of good work is done to combat them and to rehabilitate those who've suffered as a result of their addiction to those things, their slavery. But that's not all. You and I know it's not all. We know that because there are other forms of slavery, and we ourselves are sometimes victims. Depression, cynicism, jealousy, the need to acquire goods, the need to be better than other people, those are slavery, People are slaves to those things. When God said to Moses that he wanted him to lead the people out of slavery, he was talking to one who himself was no better than a slave. Oh, Moses didn't get set to work making bricks with slave drivers over him every day, as his Hebrew kinsfolk did, but he was just as much a slave as they were. He was confined to a foreign country. He had had to flee from the wrath of Pharaoh. He'd had narrow escapes from death more than once. "Come on, Moses," God had said. "What you have to offer is needed, and now is the time. There are human lives around you needing help. They're needing the help which only those can give in whom the fire of the living God is burning. To give yourself to God's service is to fall into the hands of the living God and to find yourself on fire with the flame which does not go out. So may God take us today, as we are, far from ready, we may feel, far from ready to be of any use to God. May he kindle that fire within us which will not die out, so that we may let the life of the Lord Jesus Christ into the lives of those with whom we come in contact. And now to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be all honour and glory, now and evermore. Amen." We worship God in presenting our offering. Number 485, "Dear Lord and Father of Mankind," 485. Thank you. Let us pray. O Lord our God, as we dedicate our offerings to your service, we seek also to dedicate our own lives, all that we have and all that we are. May we be used as you choose, and may we be good and faithful servants. Lord, we thank you for all your goodness, not only to us, but to all humankind. We thank you that you have created us and given us life, for the challenge of life and the strength which you supply, the strength in which we can overcome life's difficulties and deal with its situations. Above all, we thank you for Jesus Christ, your Son, for the life he lived on earth and the death he died for our sake, for his glorious resurrection and the power he exerts in human life today. Lord, we pray for our church, that it may continue to do the work you have given it to do in the world. We pray for the people who call themselves Christian, that they may find strength and encouragement in the fellowship of the church and give themselves ever more sincerely to your service. We pray for those in positions of authority that you may guide and help them, for those who teach and those who learn, for those who are ill physically or mentally, that you may heal them, for all whom we hold dear, that you may keep them safe. We thank you, Lord, for the communion of saints, those who worshipped you on earth in times past, those who worship you now, those who will worship you in future time. Keep us faithful to the trust committed to us and bring us to our eternal home through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Our closing praise is hymn 622, We Sing a Love, 622. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, this day and evermore.